Rider Nation, William Powell, bringing the energy, bringing the fight, bringing the fire every game day, every practice. Let's go, Rider Nation.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Yeah, we're ready. This is the Piffles Podcast, your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Greg.
You can give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
I'm at Safamod.
And I'm at Greg on Sports.
Give us a like on Facebook as well, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check out our Instagram page, Piffles Pod, and of course the website, PifflesPodcast.com. And of course, Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Check them out on Skip the Dishes. And of course, we're a proud member of the CFPN, the Canadian Football Podcast Network, and a part of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. Check out those networks for lots of great shows. We have so much to get to, including a little sprinkle of Jesus. Let's jump right in. Time for the opening kickoff. You still laugh every single time, Greg.
Still tickles me.
Every time.
Still tickles me.
Cody Fajardo, 2-year contract extension.
Woo.
We're happy, right?
A little bit.
Right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
You guys are like hiding your Fajardons right now.
Well, the good thing there's a table here.
I apologize to my mom if she heard that. Don't mind me.
My parents don't listen. I'm fine.
The Riders have found their franchise quarterback and they have locked him up, which is the nice thing about this is it's before the season ends. So there's no stress going into the playoffs about this. We don't have to worry about going into the offseason with, oh man, what if he doesn't sign here? What if, you know, Hamilton or Toronto or Ottawa goes and signs him or anything like that? We don't have to worry about that. And to a very, very favorable contract for the Riders, if the numbers that are recorded or reported by Farhan Lalji and Justin Dunk are accurate, then what, $450K for your starting quarterback who's in the discussion for most outstanding player?
And the base is low. Don't get me wrong. All the bonuses.
There's a big roster bonus, but
are very accessible, are easy to get to. But it's still a very good number for the Riders. God forbid something happens to the guy.
And it's a solid contract deal for him. I mean, he's coming off of $150,000 this year. He's tripling his salary after one good year. That's good work for him. Good work for the team. It's a great contract.
And it seems like such a bargain for the Riders because that could easily be a $500,000, $600,000 contract because that's just the way that quarterback contracts are. And if you look at what he's done, he's winning, he's playing well.
I'm just happy.
Great
that,
deal.
I'm just happy that we're not going into another offseason wondering who our quarterback is. We haven't had a steady quarterback going into the next season since Darian Durant.
And this isn't just any offseason. We're going to be going into a Grey Cup hosting offseason with absolutely no concern at a key position. That's fantastic.
It's been a while. It feels great.
You guys okay with the term? Just to 2 years?
Well,
a little bit of a bridge gap, like a bridge contract, well, right?
But that's the thing is, though, I was kind of scratching my head wondering why it was only 2 years. But you also have to remember the CBA's up in 2 years, too. So you have to think Cody's also hoping for a big step up in revenue, especially if there is a 10th team. You have to think that pay scale is going up but quite a bit.
I'm fine with a 2-year deal. It gives both sides a chance to prove his contract. And I mean, like you said, this is a bargain contract for the Riders. He's going to be worth a lot more if he performs like this. He's got to make that a little shorter so he can get to that level.
So go out, get your number sevens, get the Cody Fajardo jersey. Not you, Steve. Don't you dare get a Cody Fajardo
Don't
jersey.
You dare
I'm getting
get,
one.
Don't you?
No,
dare.
I will one. Murder you.
Getting one.
I will murder
I'm
you.
Not getting
I'm going
one.
To jail because I'm gonna kill you.
I'm not getting.
Please
one.
Do not get.
And
that.
if we don't kill him, I will give you Steve's home address.
No, Steve. No Cody Fajardo jersey
okay. for you.
But everybody else, go get your Cody Fajardo jersey. 2 more years, at least.
I'm getting one.
Of Jesus sprinkles.
I'm going to kill him right now.
Probably make the show go a little bit better. So, well, maybe not better, but it'd be more entertaining.
Really good ratings for the one show.
Yeah.
We literally murdered someone
because,
on air.
Yeah, because all the cops would be listening. Yeah, that's great. yeah. Cody Fajardo signed a contract extension. Great news here in Riderville, and we're all excited about that.
And that's today's show. That's it.
There we go.
Okay. Bye. See you guys.
Well, we have a little bit more coming up. We have Chad Owens coming up on the show, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit. Riders-Lions. Riders winning 27-19, moving the record to 11-5, still tied for first place with the Calgary Stampeders because they fluked out a win against Winnipeg in a game that
did they ever
really didn't deserve. You can't rely on Winnipeg to do anything.
Yeah. Fun fact, we have to rely, just like the start of the season, we're relying on Zach Kleros for our playoff fate.
Who tweeted that out today? I saw, like everybody predicted in June, the Riders' chances at first place are...
Yeah, that was Govind.
Are relying on the arm of Zach Kleros.
Owner of the Rider Fans forum.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Good tweet.
It's rare that I actually laugh at my desk, and I physically laughed out loud. It was great.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about Zach Kleros in just a second.
And that's not even the tweet of the week.
There was actually good ones this week.
There's a couple.
There's always great ones. William Powell going off in the game against BC, but really didn't touch the ball much. Question for you guys. With him getting, you know, massive yardage per carry in a game against BC, why so few touches? What's going on with the offense there?
I think they pitch count. That's the only thing I can put it up to. They don't want to wear William Powell down in a game against BC just before the playoffs.
Yeah, we sit here on the Raptors home opener day, so use the word load management is all it is. They're keeping him ready to go for when it gets colder and when the games start to really matter.
But if he's the only guy that's really moving the ball, because for at least the first half, he was the only one doing anything on the Riders' offense. Give him the ball. Give him the ball 20 times.
I'm certain if they're going to get Spurgeon Wind, they would have actually put a little more on William Powell. But that game, as bad as it was never really in doubt that the Riders weren't going to win.
They tried everything they could to give it away at the end.
Don't get me wrong. In typical Rider fashion, they'll play down to their opponents.
Or is it maybe, and this is my thought, that Stephen McAdoo is out-coaching himself. Well, it's working, but let's keep him off guard because they're going to think it's going to be a run, so let's pass it.
Nice thing is, though, if they know it's a run with William Powell, it doesn't matter.
Let's go back to 2018. We'll just blame McAdoo. Just do that.
No, but I'm wondering if that's the process, because we've seen this team, especially in a lot of these close games and some of their losses, it feels like they just they outsmart themselves.
It's weird. Yeah, Alex is not completely wrong on that. There's been games this year where all of a sudden the running game just disappears.
And this team is built for running.
Especially with our offensive line and William Powell. They went and signed William Powell for a reason. And yeah, it just seems at times this year they're like, yeah, we're not going to run the ball.
And he should not be an 850 yards back right now. He should have crossed the 1,000-yard threshold
weeks ago.
But, I mean, it's working. We're sitting at 11-5. Their game plan, for the most part, has been successful.
Well, we're getting down to a final 4 to 5 games now for this team. And going forward, I'm not really going to buy the load management thing. Yeah, maybe that's what it was. But I'm not going to buy it going forward anymore because work him for these 4 games. He's got a whole offseason after to recover. Give the best player on your team the ball.
Oh, agreed.
Just feed him the rock.
Well, that's why we're letting Fajardo throw. He's our MOP.
Is he?
Has to be.
I said he's up for MOP in the league, but is he MOP on the team? Charleston Hughes?
It's still got to be Fajardo.
It's got to be. Charleston's nice, but Rare is the defensive player actually nominated for most outstanding player.
Which is a joke.
I agree. I think they need to get rid of the...
Just make an offensive player of the year. Do what the NFL does. Offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year. And then do your special teams and linemen, whatever else you want to do.
Agreed.
Cameron Judge back in the lineup.
What a difference he makes, eh?
He's so good.
Like, they need to lock... he's the next player they need to lock up.
Whoa. Don't get ahead of ourselves. We got some questions coming up soon. And that... You might have just answered it.
I don't read ahead. But, yeah, no, they need to sign him. I don't care if it's coming up later or not. He needs to be the next guy on the list they need to sign.
I'm fairly certain Greg can't read. We're fine.
Also true.
Are you guys worried about the passing game at all? Because it took a long time for that offense to start really moving the ball. And even then, the passing game... The last however many weeks, even when we're scoring points, the passing game just doesn't seem to be clicking like we feel it should. Where are you going forward?
I'm not so worried about the passing game so much as the incredibly slow starts that have become the norm from this offense. Because once they get going, they're great. It's that getting going at all that seems to take a quarter and a half every game. And in the playoffs against teams like Calgary and Winnipeg, I mean, look what happened last week against Calgary.
Hey, this is Rider football. We only need to play three quarters.
Well, that's only when we're out in Montreal.
Oh, that's why I want us to win the Grey Cup, just for that giant asterisk again.
But seriously, like, you guys have been fans for this team forever. There's always been, they only play three quarters. And at least it's like at the start of the game, not at the end of the game where they let everything fall apart.
Yeah, I mean, if you have to play three quarters, I'd rather it be the second, third, and fourth than the first, second, and third. But it's a concern that they have to come out of the gates on fire soon.
Now, this game against BC, there didn't feel like there was that same buzz to it like there was the week before against Calgary. Granted, that was for, you know, first place, and that could have locked up first place if the Riders won that game against Calgary. But it just feels like this one is just like, well, yeah, but if they play like this again, they're not going to beat any of the better teams. Like, it just feels like we just squeaked that out, even though the game, like you said, was never really in doubt. Are you guys, like, where are you going forward? Because we're going to have Winnipeg and Calgary coming up in the playoffs. But and those are tough teams.
As discussed, though, these guys, Rider football, you play to your competition. You don't, very rare is a blowout by the Riders on a lesser team.
See, but this year seems to be the exception with that because we blew out BC twice. We blew out Toronto twice.
We lost to Ottawa 44-41.
Dom Davis had a career game like every starting quarterback in their first few games has against us.
Look at how many last-minute victories this team has pulled off. Like, they play to their opponent. They don't keep their foot on the gas 100% of the time.
I would agree with that. If we don't have, what was that? What did I just list off? Four double-digit wins?
Against two of the three worst teams
in the
league.
Yeah, but that's the point here. He's saying that they play down. This year, they haven't been. This was a bad game. But this year, they haven't been playing down to that level for the most part, in my opinion, of course.
So with this one, this game, is it just like we don't care how, it's how many?
That's part of it. But also going back, the late games in BCs are also notoriously terrible for the Riders.
It is a tough going out there in late game.
So, and I'm not, this game is an anomaly. They won it. They had to win it. It would have been nice if Winnipeg would have pulled through, but.
Hey, they kept it closer in Calgary than I thought they would, only losing by a couple points.
And now they get to go to the loudest stadium-assisted fans for a victory.
I don't let you say that every time. Is there anything else about the game you guys want to make mention of? 11-5 is a good record. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm harping on this team for not being good, because they are. They're 11-5.
I'm pretty sure I picked them to be 10-8, so this is all gravy from here on out.
Yeah, when Chris Jones left, we all started looking at the season going, okay, well, we'll play for Grey Cup next year. And here we are fighting for first in the West with, not the top team right now, with second best behind Hamilton in how they're playing right now.
I heard this on the radio today. Now that the Riders have Fajardo locked up long term, is this season a success? And somebody said, well, yeah, because at the beginning of the year, we were talking about like, oh, well, this is a possible crossover team. They're not going to compete with the top teams in the West, and we're sitting looking at first place. So is this season a success already?
This season is a success for the simple fact that our starting quarterback got knocked out three plays into the season, and we're 11-5 right now.
Like, and now we have to rely on him for a first place win.
I think Garth Brooks said it, thank God for unanswered prayers, because unfortunately for Zach Caleros, him getting hurt was probably the best thing that happened to this team. And it's, sucks to say it, but it's true. They found an actual franchise guy behind him that, who knows if Claris would have stayed healthy all year, Fajardo would be here next year.
Yeah, he'd be back being the number three somewhere else, because all he needed was his chance, because all he's ever gotten was those mop up time and third and one plunges.
So by far this is a success. You got your starting quarterback. You're fighting for first place, and you are easily a Grey Cup contender.
It's the opening kickoff presented by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out her Facebook page, Kathy Festian, Royal LePage. Now, Odds and End Zones by Churchill Brewing Company. Zach Caleros taking first team reps with the Bombers.
Oh.
Is he a good replacement, not for Strevler, but for Matt Nichols? Because Strevler's hurt, and all you need is him just to... He's not going to be running around. Obviously, that's not his skill set anymore. But is it just like, just be a game manager? That's what Zach Caleros was last year. Just do that again and let the defense kind of carry you and make a play when needed.
You know what? He's probably the perfect quarterback for that offense. They don't need a running quarterback with Andrew Harris in the backfield. They need a guy who can actually complete passes over 6 yards. And we've seen Caleros can be that guy. You don't want him to be the guy running out of the pocket anymore. He can't do it. He's one headshot away from being out for another career at this point. Well, we said that last year and he came back. But, I mean, at some point, enough has to be enough. I don't know about the plans to play him. I still think after last season, what was it, four concussions?
Four, yeah.
Four,
something like that.
In one 12-month run. When is enough enough? You hate to see him. Like, every time he takes a hit, fans across the CFL are going to be cringing, hoping he stands up.
But this is why Winnipeg wanted him and not anyone else. They wanted a guy with experience in case Strevler got nicked up like he did or couldn't make the passes. They wanted that veteran. They could have had a young guy, but they wanted Caleros. They were offered James Franklin. They wanted Caleros. So this is on the Bombers.
Do we have a rant? If not, I can throw a rant in at something right now.
Sure. Why don't we get right to it then?
Let's get ready to rumble!
I got a really quick, easy rant here, and I can't believe I'm going to say something nice about Chris Strevler. It hurts my soul deep inside. The guy toughed it out last week in Winnipeg, but my rant is aimed at the entire Winnipeg sidelines for not pulling him off the field when he's limping all over the field and could barely walk and was noticeably injured for those last three drives. Stupid move. Tells me everything I need to know about Mike O'Shea.
If he dies, he dies.
Like,
just a flesh wound.
Yeah, like seriously, like
he could barely, he can't throw. His only move is mobility and he had none. And you put a guy who has no ability to plant in for a Hail Mary pass? Just everything about that last few minutes was stupid and makes me question a lot of things about Mike O'Shea and his respect for player safety.
Well, player safety is one thing, but that also tells you the amount of faith they have in the backup quarterback before they got Caleros. That's the reason why they went and got him. If you can't trust, if Strevler's on one leg and he's still better than the guy behind him, you're in trouble.
Strevler's throwing for like 120 yards. How can the guy behind him be any worse?
Have you seen the Riders' third-string quarterbacks through the years?
Good point.
I want to move on to a couple questions that we got here this week. Adams asks, who is the next Rider that you want to see signed?
Cam Judge.
That's an easy answer. It's Cam Judge. He's got to be locked up for as many years as he will sign for.
I will list a second one as well because we're all in agreement on Cam Judge there.
Cameron Judge?
Shaq Evans.
Well, best receiver in the league?
Self-proclaimed.
His last few weeks might have brought that salary down a few bucks.
Man, Brian Burnham. How about that? Even Odell Beckham Jr. is looking at that non-catch and being like, ooh, because that was sweet. That might have been the best catch I've ever seen in my life.
An inch off to the left, and that's being played on every highlight reel for years.
Here's the thing. I stand by. If that thing was called a touchdown and they went to review, they would have allowed it because you couldn't tell.
No.
The only thing that saved that thing for not being a touchdown is because they ruled it not on the field that way. That was a hell of a catch.
I kind of wish it would have stood because that deserves to be played forever.
Oh, it still will be. I guarantee they'll be in the TSN highlight package at the end of the year this year.
His touchdown catch was nothing to sniff at either. He just...
The dude jumped
up in coverage, made the catch, shoved a guy off of him, and then bullied another guy into the end zone.
Yeah.
Like, he's just... Brian Burnham's the best receiver in the league.
There's no question.
But anyway, I'd like to see the Riders sign Shaq Evans. Yeah.
And quickly on Burnham, if it wasn't for his age, he should be in the NFL. But he's not going to get looked now. He's too old.
One other question I want to get to is from Lane. Spirit of Halloween coming up. Who is the scariest Rough Rider linebacker of all time? There are two correct answers to this. Let's see if you guys get them.
Oh, I want to make a very incredibly inappropriate response.
Travis Smith?
There we go.
Yes, that's one answer right there. The other one, of course, the Reaper, Reggie Hunt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For two very different reasons.
Yeah, completely different reasons, yeah.
Yeah. One of them you don't want to see on a football field. The other one you don't want to see like in a bar. Being like, hey, what are you doing later tonight? Yeah, nope. Hard pass. send us your Piffles questions. We'll answer absolutely anything. I like the Halloween one. That's kind of fun. Halloween next week as well. You guys got your costumes yet?
I do. Yep.
You can't go to Darth Maul. That doesn't count.
No, I don't. I don't do that for Halloween. No. I'm saving that for the opener of Star Wars Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, okay.
All right. No, I don't got a costume.
I saw the best costume. It's a kid with like cardboard over top of himself. It was in the shape of a credit card. He says, I'm going as a credit card because I'm either being used or being declined.
Oh.
That was funny. That was funny. I was like, hey, that's a good costume idea. What are you going to be, Steve?
Or
are you not allowed to say it?
Yeah, I got to keep it on the down low till next week.
Okay.
It's a work thing.
Next week, we'll talk about it then. This week, though, we'll go to Twitter. Steve, you mentioned that there were good CFL tweets of the week. Let's get to it right now. Who takes home the title of Tweet of the Week this week? Should really come prepared with this.
I actually screenshot it like 30 seconds ago.
Oh, so he wasn't listening.
Listening to what?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I am very proud of this tweet. This might have been one of my favorite tweets of all time. It came out after the Cody Fajardo signing. And it goes out to our good friend Fonzie Van Dam at Stadnik. Because remember, folks, upon reading this news, if your ensuing Fajardon lasts more than 4 hours, please consult a physician. A physician.
A combination of a physician and a magician. A physician.
Magician.
Yeah. So kudos to that. That, again, made me actually guffaw at work. That was solid.
Well, hopefully this current Fajardon lasts about another 5 weeks until Grey Cup. 6 weeks, whatever that is.
Yes, please. We're going to Calgary. I would very much like to take my Fajardon with me.
Remind me not to travel with you.
Feel sorry, whoever's sitting next to me on the plane. It's going to be awkward
Moving
for everyone.
Moving on. We teased a little bit earlier. Let's get to it right now. This week's Rider alumni presented by Underdogs Memorabilia. He was only a Rider for 1 year, but his impact on the team, it was big. Chad Owens here on the Piffles podcast. Chad, how you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing amazing, man. I just got done, at the gym training my clients. And been here for the last 5 hours or so, maybe a little bit more after doing my own workout session. So yeah, been grinding, man.
Now we got to ask you right off the bat. This is a Rider fan show. When you signed with the Riders back in 2017, what was the deciding factor for you?
You know what, man? Like, I think everyone would agree that's played there, that we're on other teams, and eventually got to experience Rider Nation. It's a special place to play, man. Like, the support is unbelievable. You know, like growing up as a kid to, you know, dreaming of playing pro ball, for me, it was the NFL, right? And I got to experience that as well. But, you know, when I got to the CFL and I was, you know, doing my thing, and, you know, all you ever want is to come out of that locker room and to come to a packed stadium and fans and loud atmosphere. And, man, Rider Nation has that. Like, every game reminded me of the 2012 Grey Cup when I was in Toronto, like coming out that tunnel in the Rogers Center, so loud, so electric, and that's what it is every game, you know, in Saskatchewan. So very fortunate.
Now, I remember Rider Nation being real excited when you signed, but it took a little bit of time for us to actually get to see you on the field. How early into this season do you think you could have been ready to go in your season here?
Oh man, you know what? That's I was dealing with a foot injury that I had gotten during the 16 season with the Ticats, and you know what? That's the unfortunate part, about the game, and those things are out of our control, I think when I came back, it was the right time, and I was ready to go. And you know what? I'm glad I was able to experience that. Instead of just standing on the sidelines. I mean, I'm sure it was the same for the fans. But you know what? Injuries, it's part of the game, and you never know. But you know what? I was excited to be able to get out there and. I got a touchdown, Kevin Glenn, future Hall of Famer. So, a lot of great experiences, and I wish it was longer. I was able to do that from the beginning of the season, and but it didn't work out that way. And it allowed other guys to step in, other guys to play, other guys to get their opportunity, as I once was that guy looking for their opportunity.
Of course, during that entire regime, Chris Jones was basically the face of the franchise. What's it like to be on a Chris Jones team in Saskatchewan?
It was, I don't want to say tough, but, he ran a very tight operation, he did it his way, and, you were either on board or you weren't, you weren't going to be there. But, every coach has their style, their culture, their way. And, you either buy in or you're going to find yourself elsewhere. So that's just part of being a pro, that you got to expect that in pro sports. There's going to be adjustments. But, on the flip side, I wish that it would work the other way around too, coaches also have to, adjust the players. They got to be able to take a player and work with their strengths. A lot of times I find coaches have a mindset of what they want, and although they have a player that's capable, but they're not doing it the way they want to do it or whatever, and, they move on. I just think that's the tough part about being a player, is that, we're expendable.
Is that more of a mental thing for players? Dealing with different coaches in different ways, and it's something that it changes from year to year with different coaching staffs. You find that the hardest part of being a pro is the mental side of things?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the mental side of things in life are the hardest part, But if you can tap in and control that thing and really strengthen that muscle, I think you give yourself a better chance. Being able to adjust and roll with the punches, I guess you could say, through new regimes, new coaches coming in, new this, new that, learn a new playbook. In a perfect world, yeah, do you want to be with the same coach, same playbook, same offense, for your entire career and just executing without even thinking? Yeah. But to be honest, man, that's not life. So, if you can look at that situation, one of two ways. If you're that guy that had to go through so many coaches, so many regimes, man, like look at how that's strengthening you as a person, right? And getting you ready for life. You're able to adjust. You're able to make those, instant adjustments. And in pro sports, in football especially, in the CFL, you got to learn that thing quick. Because, as soon as training camp starts, you're playing a game in like 10 days or so, or within 2 weeks. And if it's a new coach, new offense, new everything, you got to pick it up. You're expected, right? Because that's the expectation. You get paid to do this, right? You're expected to pick it up and execute. So, you can complain about it on the other side and let it deflate you. And, that's just when you're done playing ball. When you transition to post football or sport career, like those situations are going to come up again, and you're not going to be able to handle it. So, two ways to go about it.
Now, your CFL started with a very brief stint in Montreal, but it was really your first season in Toronto that you exploded onto your onto the scene in the CFL. What do you remember most about your time in Toronto?
Man, that's where I was able to just play football. Like, I finally felt like I had arrived and was given the opportunity that I've been longing for to not only be a returner, because I was labeled as that as in the NFL, but to come out here and really show myself as a receiver. And I did that. I was given an opportunity. And, you know, I made lifelong friends who I'm business partners with today, who I'm best friends with today. And, like, that's what I remember the most. Yeah, you know, the awards, the Grey Cups and all that. That's there. But what I'm going to hold on and take with me is far greater than anything we've accomplished on the field. It's the brotherhood and the lifelong friendship, post football.
Of course, in Toronto, you were dubbed the Flying Hawaiian. Was that a CFL nickname, or did you have it longer?
That was just a CFL nickname. You know, it's funny because it's like, man, everyone who's from Hawaii that's made it elsewhere, like, hey, and you had any type of pretty good athleticism. And you could run or whatever. Oh man, Flying Hawaiian! Like, I wasn't the first one. Like, I remember when I was in college, like Nate Jackson, who was a safety of ours, man, they were calling him the Flying Hawaiian. And then, Shane Victorino, who's pretty much branded that nickname. He's the Flying Hawaiian. So I think that's something that's pretty it's a given, but it's an easy nickname, you know, if you're out there flying around and you're from Hawaii.
So if Chad Owens got to choose his own nickname, what would it be?
Well, I'm known as, you know, CO2, like today, like that's my brand. And, but, you know, I've had a few nicknames throughout. Like, I was called Mighty Mouse throughout high school and college. And then, you know, I became the Flying Hawaiian here in Canada in the CFL. But I don't know. Like, I leave the nicknaming to, you know, to the media and the people who see fit what they think it should be, you know. But right now, my brand, you know, has been CO2. You know, Chad Owens, number two. I mean, that's what I've built, and that's what I do and I use. And
So, what was the hardest thing to get used to weather-wise when you came up here and played in Canada?
Man, just the cold period. Like, I'm from Hawaii, right? I don't like the cold, but it is what it is. And you never get used to it. I've talked to a lot of people who live here. There's no getting used to it. You just deal with it. And it is what it is, right? But yeah, I mean, you layer up, you go out there and you get it done. But what's crazy is my whole CFL career, I've never played in a snow game. You know, never played in a snow game. Not that I was looking forward to doing so, but it just never happened. I think because for the most part, I was in Toronto, and later parts of the season, we're at home in a dome. So, I missed out on that West Coast, Calgary, Winnipeg, you know, even Saskatchewan, snow games, Edmonton.
If you're kind of against, or not against, but keeping the snow games away, do you want to come sign back in Saskatchewan so we can keep those snow days away from here? We'd love to get rid of them.
Man, you know what? I don't know if I'm not so sure where I'm at playing wise. I think I'm done. But I train like I'm playing. I train like I'm getting ready to go to do it again. Just because, you know, I just enjoy it, right? I enjoy the grind. I enjoy staying in shape. You know, they say, hey, stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. But you know what? I'm grinding right now in another game, you know, I'm getting used to another vehicle. And, you know, in the business world, in real life. And you know what? yeah, so that's where I'm at now, man.
So what are your thoughts about this year's season? Do you have any, with playoffs around the corner, got any predictions for us?
Man, I'm taking Hamilton out of the East for sure. Hamilton's going to be in the Grey Cup. They're just playing a lights out. And I don't know, man, the West is a toss-up. Like, you know, the Riders look real good. Cody came in there and just balled, man. Like, you know, they gelled. That team is gelling right now. Defense is playing well. You can never count Calgary out. I mean, you know, Winnipeg, I mean, it's playoff time comes around. Like, you just never know. But if I had to take a guess and pick, I'm saying it's going to be Hamilton and Saskatchewan in the Grey Cup.
That's the correct answer. That's what we were looking for there. And Chad, we know you're running short on time here, so we got to let you go. But really quickly, before we do let you go, if you could describe your time with the Riders in just a couple words and say a couple words to Rider Nation, what would you say?
Wow. Describe my time with the Riders. In a couple words. And that's tough. You put me on the spot right there. I mean, there's a few different ways you could look at it. You know, it's like, for me, like, you know, football, for me, football is life, right? And for Saskatchewan and the Riders, like, football is life. So it was like, I guess it was a dream come true to be able to experience that, where, you know, the fans and the player are in it with the same passion. You know what I mean? Not saying that all the other teams and the provinces don't have that same passion. I'm not saying that, because I think, hey, Argos, every team has their fans, their diehards, their, you know, ride or dies, like, they have them, right? But I just think, you know, Saskatchewan has, not saying that that's all they have, but they take a lot of pride in that, and it shows. So, I mean, I can't just use a couple words, because they are Rider Nation. Check this out. Rider Nation is the CFL. Rider Nation is Canadian football. And, you know, even when I was on playing for the Argos or other team, Hamilton, like, you go there, I looked forward to going there, because you just knew that the atmosphere was going to be electric. And as players, that's what you feed off of. You know, you feed off of that. So, yep, that. And, hey, Rider Nation, I just want to say thank you for, the support in the short while that I was there. They really make you feel as if you've been there forever, because they are truly the CFL. They are CFL fans, heart and heart. I mean, they may not be Calgary fans, but, you know, they are CFL fans through and through. And at the end of the day, you know, they will embrace even a Stampeder that comes over, as they do, look, Micah Johnson. Like, they'll embrace you and, you know, make you their own. So, Rider Nation, thank you so much for the experience and, yeah, the life lessons, you know.
All right, well, Chad Owens, thank you so much for joining us here on the Piffles Podcast. We got to let you go, and enjoy, keep training, and we look forward to talking to you in the future.
Yes, sir, man. Appreciate you guys so much, and have a great night.
All right, now moving on, we got to talk about this upcoming game. Huge game for the Riders, maybe not so much for Edmonton, but to help us kind of preview that this week on the Tallgrass Apparel Enemy Preview is Andrew with the Empire Podcast in Edmonton. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. It's always fun to chat, and it's been so long because we don't play you guys till the end of the year. I'm glad we're finally catching up.
Yeah, that's just odd scheduling from the CFL this year, but I guess we'll have to deal with it.
Yeah, I guess so. back to end the season.
Yeah, so Trevor Harris activated off the 6-game list. Is that the right thing to do for Edmonton with 2 weeks left, or should they have waited for next week?
I don't think it really matters, honestly. I mean, he has to come back and knock some rust off. He's been off for a few weeks, and you want to give him a chance to actually throw the ball around and make sure that his wrist or arm or elbow or whichever the part is that, you know, no one wants to really say was hurt, is okay. So, honestly, the sooner we can get Trevor back into the flow of the game, the better it is for us. So I don't mind him coming off this week and let him, you know, kind of see how he goes and as far as playing in the game. Maybe he plays a half. Maybe he plays more. Next week, of course, if he is good after this week, then chances are they'll give him a little more of a break next week and then get ready for the playoffs.
And the good news, if you have seats between the 20s, unlike the end zone seats like I have, you'll get to see Trevor Harris move the ball a lot.
Well, it's very true, yeah. Honestly, though, that wouldn't matter which quarterback it was. You could, as long as you're in between the 20s, there's lots of Eskimo action in there. Outside of it, yeah, kind of hit and miss.
Of course, Harris is down one of his best weapons with C.J. Gable. How's the team rallying around that?
Well, I think Shaq Cooper came in a couple of weeks ago there before we had the bye week and did admirably well. And he, in the games that he's had to play this year, he's done well. The thing I really like about Shaq Cooper is the fact that not only can he go up the middle, but he can bounce it outside. And we don't see that as often with CJ, who basically just kind of puts his head down and says, "Here I come." So it's kind of nice to have a little bit of a change up. So I think either back is good. The only thing that I worry about with that is that Shaq Cooper hasn't always been as good a blocker as C.J. Gable, but I don't know that there's many backs in the league that are as good a blocker as C.J. Gable. So it just kind of means that, you know, Harris has got to get the ball out of his hands a lot quicker, and that might mean a little more handoffs or screens or those types of things just to kind of make sure that he gets protected.
Eskimos D-line, Kwaku Boateng, Alex Bazzi, Mike Moore, Nick Usher, Almondo Sewell as well. This is one of the big strengths of the team. How big of an X factor are they going to be against a team with, you know, William Powell as the running back?
Yeah, it should be very interesting. And actually, the addition of Matthew Betts has been really amazing for a guy just coming in and playing a few games. But he's really stood out when he's been out there, a lot of times doing a rotation with Kwaku. And those guys, I mean, Mondo himself really, really blocks up the middle. So it makes it a little bit harder for a lot of running backs, although a lot of running backs against the Eskimos will go to the outside, which puts a lot of pressure on Don Yanaba and Javon Santos Knox. And nice to have Santos Knox back in the line, because that's one of the things that he's really good at, is stopping that outside run. So I think the combination of that will be very interesting to see against a team that is, you know, hasn't really run the ball a whole lot, but we know Powell's very dangerous.
Now the Eskimos know they're going to be heading to Montreal on the 10th. Is this when they start resting players for that eventual playoff matchup?
I don't know that there'll be that much rest this week. If we go back in the history of Moss teams, he doesn't rest a lot of players anyway. So whether I agree with that or not, I guess, is a whole other story. But my guess is that if we're going to see any players rested, it'll be more next week, whereas this week they want to be able to get all of the pieces in place and make sure that as much as they can be firing on all cylinders before they get into the playoffs.
Now, you mentioned Jason Moss here. We haven't had a lot of time to talk about him this year because we haven't really seen the Eskimos, at least playing the Riders this year, yet. What's your take on Jason Moss this year? Because going into the year, it was, you know, there was the Gatorade bottle last year and just the headsets and everything. Do you find that there's a big difference with Jason Moss this year, kind of toning it down?
It's kind of funny, actually, because it was middle of last year is when he kind of took responsibility and said he was going to tone it down and be more calm on the sideline. And really, the only blow-up that we've really seen this year is the one with that pass interference that was so not a pass interference that I think every coach would have lost their mind over. But other than that, he's been calmer. But the crazy thing is, as soon as he does that, the team doesn't play as well. I don't get it. I don't get where that line is. Where he can, you know, motivate the team, and he's always been a guy that's worn his emotions on his sleeve, and him trying to dial that back, I don't know if that then affects how he delivers his message. I have no idea, but it's weird that they have that balance, because I mean, I've never been a fan of when he gets upset. I don't think anybody is, but I mean, if you see when you get results, it's kind of hard to be like, oh, well, you can't completely fault him. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the offseason, especially if the Eskimos lose in that Montreal game, because we really haven't taken any steps forward when we added a fair amount of free agent talent. So I don't know exactly where that ends up in the off season, but I think Moss overall, I think the guys want to play for him. I don't think there's any worry about him losing the room or anything like that. I just think he's still working on being a head coach and finding that balance between passion and not going overboard.
So you just mentioned all that free agent talent the Eskimos brought in. Who do you think has been the biggest surprise?
Oh, I don't know if I would say the biggest surprise, but the because this is kind of not really going too far off the board, but if I was going to go on the negative side, I would say because Tavares Daniels has been hurt and then not really been able to connect as well, that's kind of a bit of a surprise to me because I saw how well he played in Calgary and I thought he would do that up here. As far as on the good side, though, and I think we reasonably expected this, but Larry Dean is having an outstanding year, but not really being talked a lot about. And his leadership when you watch him in games is just huge. And I think that was definitely one of the big signings that Sunderland was able to bring in.
So looking ahead to the matchup, we've talked D-line, we've talked quarterback, running back. What are the keys for Edmonton to pull this game out?
Well, the big one I would say is that front seven has got to do some hold back on Powell. But they also need to get some pressure on Fajardo. That's one thing. I mean, Fajardo's had a few times where he's had some pressure, but the offensive line, as much as your guys' offensive line has gotten banged up and guys moved around, as they're getting guys back, Fajardo's got lots of time. And with all the talent in the receiving core that the Riders have, and you understand how hard it is for me to say that, but with all the talent that they have, if Fajardo gets time, he can kill you. So I think one of the biggest keys is they got to find a way to put some of that pressure on there, and that front seven is good at doing that. So they got to get in there and make some people uncomfortable in the backfield, and I think that'll be a big difference.
All right, and one final one for you, Andrew. Give us a score prediction.
Oh boy!
Oh, come on, you knew it was coming.
I did know it was coming, and I should have prepared better, but. only because it's at Commonwealth Stadium, I am going to say that the Eskimos pull out a squeaker like 25-24.
Boo.
Yeah.
Homer.
did you think I was actually going to pick them? Come on.
Yes. Yes. Like, yes. You're a smart man, Andrew.
To be fair, about 4 weeks ago, I probably would have told you the Riders are going to win, but now.
Well, Trevor Harris back, right? I mean, it's. Whether you guys can,
what that spark does.
It's we'll see if you guys can score touchdowns instead of field goals. I guess that's the big thing for the Eskimos.
I was gonna say 25-24. Is that eight? Is that eight field goals then? And a rouge?
Well, no, because we'd get eight field goals and a single for us. That's right. Because Sean White will break that record by next year because he's already got 24 in a row. Like there's only 48 to go. So he's good.
Andrew, thanks so much for joining us. And where can people find more on the Eskimo Empire podcast?
Well, you can find all of our links on eskempire.ca. That's the website. But the one that we're mostly on is Twitter, which is at eskempirepod. And you can follow me if you feel like you need to be masochistic. It's at freebelicious. And hopefully, thanks for having me on, guys. And I'm excited to see as many of you are going to be at the Grey Cup in Calgary.
Can't wait. That'll be fun.
It's like having Andrew on.
It's one of my favorites from the CFPN.
He's like one of the good guys.
So one thing left to do this week, our CFL pick'em. And let's get to the who gives a crap games first. Hamilton at Montreal?
Hamilton.
Hamilton.
Montreal. Ottawa at Toronto.
Nobody's winning that.
Not the fans, not anybody. Toronto will pull that one out.
I know I was told to stop doing this, but I'll do it again.
Tie. Ottawa. Oh, I thought you were going to go for a tie.
Ottawa has to win eventually, right?
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
I mean, they can't be that bad.
Yeah,
yes, they
can.
They really can.
But they are. There's no can. They are.
And the sad thing is, apparently, they spent to the cap on what?
Jonathan Jennings and Tom Davis. I'm sorry, Red Blacks fans.
I guess I'll go. I'm not. The big game on Friday. Calgary at Winnipeg.
Let's go, stadium-assisted fans.
Zach Kleros, let's do it. Bombers win a tight one.
Calgary.
Hate you, Steve. Yeah. You got to cheer for BC in the last week of the year.
That's okay. He's dead last in Pick'em anyway.
So. Oh, good.
Yeah.
And finally, Riders at Edmonton. Disagree with Andrew. Riders will win.
Oh, Riders easily.
Edmonton. No, I'm just kidding. Riders. How much would it suck if Winnipeg were to win and then we lose?
Yeah, the Riders drop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we're worrying about a third place spot because the three-way tie, the Riders finished third in that situation.
What a, like, that, the Riders, that tie break
Winnipeg,
is nuts.
Winnipeg can't get a home playoff game. Well, can't get first anyway. So the battle for first is only between the Riders and Calgary.
And Calgary, yeah.
But the Riders can finish in third.
How wild.
Go figure.
Like, talk about parity in this league. Like, and then you got Toronto and Ottawa.
You got parity at the top and parity at the bottom.
Yeah.
And a couple of other teams just mixed right in. But that's going to do it for us this week here on the Piffles Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Greg.
And you can give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod. Don't worry about following me. I'm not that fun.
He's really not.
I mean, you can follow me. I'm also not that fun, but at Safamod.
And follow me at Craig on Sports. He didn't really actually give out his handle.
I know.
I was going to say, you guys notice that?
Yeah.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Piffles Podcast. Go to Facebook, like the page. This is your cue. If you have not done that yet, and the Riders clinch a home playoff game this week, you'll want to be on Facebook liking that page.
Very important.
I can't imagine why.
I thought it was pretty self-explanatory. We're going to give away a pair of home playoff tickets on Facebook.
Boom, boom,
do you want me to sell it out, or like spell it out even more for you?
No.
I don't think I can.
It's like he can't read and you can't spell as I'm pointing.
To the Rider game.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so we have an extra pair of tickets to the home playoff game.
And you don't need to sit with us.
Yeah. No, they're not beside us, which is great. Yeah. So
if they had to sit with us, there'd be no entries.
Yeah.
So go on Facebook and like that right now. Get in the queue that way already. Check us out on Instagram, search Piffles Pod, and go to the website, piffles podcast.com. Of course, Piffles Podcast is brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Special thanks as well go to Kathy Festian of Roy LePage Regina Realty, Tallgrass Apparel, Churchill Brewing Company, and Underdogs Memorabilia for their support to make this show possible. Piffles Podcast is a proud member of the CFPN, the Canadian Football Podcast Network, and a part of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. You guys know the drill. Tyler Gilbert, this is Ghost Behind Your Mind.